Welcome back to Cool Science Radio. I'm John Wells here with Lynn Ware Peak. Michael Ruzick is an institutional consultant and a resident manager for the Greystone Consulting Organization, which is a business of Morgan Stanley here in Park City. He's also the powder buoy, nautically spelled B-U-O-Y. Back in 2004, Michael discovered a fascinating relationship between NOAA's buoy 51101, which is parked off the coast of Kauai. The relationship between that buoy and snowstorms back here in the Wasatch Back, well, it's pretty interesting. Michael, welcome to Cool Science Radio.
Thanks, JW. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you here on the program finally. How did you first find out there was some correlation between a buoy off of Kauai and the Wasatch Back snowstorms?
That's a good question. I had a client of mine at the time who, Hank Mannanen, whom I had met through his son, and he basically was a surfer slash Hawaiian canoe aficionado, and lived in Maui half the year and lived here half the year. And there are two buoys in particular, Hawaii 1 and 2, that he would track for surf. Surfers in Hawaii track for the North Shore and whatnot. And I think just like anybody looks at weather, if you're in two different places, he was probably there and noticed, was looking at the weather back home here and saw this correlation, and he told me about it. And since then, it was kind of my own personal secret on how I plan my winter skiing midweek escapades slash sick days. Now I'm outing myself here, but about in 2014 or so, I had some friends that said, hey, you know, you should put together a Facebook page and get this information out there. And so I slowly did, and then it just kind of took on a life of its own from there.
What is the specific behavior you're looking for from the buoy?
So really, I'm looking at significant changes in significant wave height, which are indicative of low pressure systems coming through that area. And it's the same as the surfers track for, and it's about a day out for surfers on the North Shore in Waimea. But we happen to be 2 weeks out because it's 3,100 miles away, but it happens to be the same track. And it's amazing to me when you think about, I look at these two soul sports of surfing and skiing, and the fact that this same energy pattern going through the ocean can not only affect them, but also can affect us here, it's really a kind of a cool connection from bringing us all together.
Okay, Mike, I have to tell you this. I did not know until 2 days ago that you were the powder buoy guy. Now, I've known you for a handful of years. I've known about this elusive powder buoy that people are so into, and I had no idea that you are the guy. And I was so delighted. I think for a long time, I don't know where, I think maybe I thought it was in Colorado. And then this winter I noticed, oh, it's someone in Utah. Had no idea it was you, our very own Park City resident. So I'm really excited about that.
Thank you.
There are t-shirts, right? I mean, this thing, as you say, it's taken on a life of its own. People love it.
I haven't made t-shirts yet, but hats and
really nice hats.
Oh, some hats. Yeah.
Yes.
And stickers. Oh, it's so great. But this is just a fun thing for you. It's fun, but
absolutely.
Does it ever feel like a job that people are counting on you?
Well, there's a bit of a self-loathing aspect to it because in a certain way, I almost feel like the fisherman that gives off information about his favorite hole or something along those lines, where to a certain degree, yeah. Do I really want to tell people that there's a powder day on Thursday or Friday, i.e. this week, or do I want it for myself? But at the same time, it's fun, and I've had so much fun and have had such positive response from really people from all over the country that it brings me so much happiness to bring other people happiness that that's what keeps me going.
It's so fun. Can you make a prediction about the accuracy?
So the last 2 years, and I should have done this before I came today, but the last 2 years was a little over 80%. And so what I looked at was storms that I had predicted or storms that I missed and came through or whatnot. And it was 82% or 81% accurate the last 2 years. This year was off a little on the front end of the season because we had a really big high-pressure ridge that pushed everything into Canada and the Pacific Northwest. But then things settled back in at about mid-February-ish, and then we kind of came back online again.
Yeah.
So that's one of the pieces. You've got the wave height that indicates that it might be a low-pressure system
right.
being out there in Kauai, 3,100 miles away. But also you need to have, if there's a sustained low-pressure area here, that's
more the high pressure.
It's the high pressure
here.
Okay.
So high pressure will push the low pressure up and out of the way. And so this year, and it was interesting because I had there's a follower who's a meteorologist in Denver for Channel 4 or 5, I can't remember now. But he sent a message to me separately because he started following the buoy and mentioned that, hey, we've got this high-pressure ridge that's going to, I think he said the ridiculously resilient ridge is what they mm-hmm. deemed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think your buoy is going to be off for a little while. And he, in fact, that was true, where everything, storms did come, but they all pushed north.
You know what I like about this is, well, we've done a couple of shows on big data, and we've done a number of shows on algorithms and specialized computational things for massaging large data sets. And to hear how you anecdotally sort of found this through your friend and then sort of building the science behind this after making some observations, I wonder how much is out there that we just don't know, that we haven't discovered yet. Like, for an example, this relationship between the low pressure and snow 2 weeks later. What other things are out there that we haven't discovered yet, but the data is just there waiting for us?
I'm sure there's, just from my own interest in this and friends chiming in or other people chiming in, again, from all over the country, I'm learned. You know, I always joke that I'm a barroom meteorologist, but I'm learning more and more. And there is a lot that goes into it, whether it's the temperature of the ocean and which triggers high pressures and low pressures and El Nino and La Nina events, to the wind angles and swell angles. As an example, when the ridge did break down, I got a message from a friend who was in Hawaii. And he had been there for about a month on the North Shore and said, you know, this whole season has been out of whack because the swell angles were coming in on a weird angle, and so it's been flat. But finally that's changed, and I think you'll see a change and the buoy getting back on track again for Utah. And sure enough, 2 weeks later, it jumped back on track. So it's funny that waves, again, that are crashing on the shores of Waimea Bay can also relate to us here.
Yeah. It's so funny. I got a call from my buddy Frank, you know, Frank Dwyer, and he'll say, "Oh, JW, the buoy just popped. Put it on your calendar. 2 weeks." And of course, you know Frank as well,
right.
And Big Daddy. So yeah, it's fun. You can't take it too seriously, but it's fun.
Yeah. So you tell some stories about times that you've been on a chairlift or in a bar or wherever, and you've heard people quoting data from the powder buoy.
Right.
Tell us about some of those stories. And I have a feeling that you don't let on that it's you.
I generally don't. And that's frankly why I hadn't really intentionally connected my name to this. I wanted it to be its own, kind of its own animal. But there was a time I was early skiing at the canyons, maybe 4 years, 5 years ago. And I was on the chair with Davey Ratchford from Vail, and it was one of those pre-opening ski days, and it was just a groomer day. It didn't snow or anything, and he leans over and says, "Well, you know, there's this buoy out in Hawaii, and it says that, you know, it's going to snow in about 6 days, so we should have had this ski day 6 days from now." And I kind of look over at him like, "Well, you know, I'm the buoy, actually." He's like, "What?" And so he kind of got a kick out of that. And then I was fishing this fall with our sheriff, Justin Martinez. And the same thing, we're driving back from Wyoming, 2 hours in a car, and you start talking about all sorts of stuff. And he starts talking about this buoy that everyone in the out at the sheriff's station follows. And he's like, "Hey, Mike, have you ever heard of this thing?" He's like, and I'm like, "Yeah, I'm actually the buoy." He's like, "No, have you heard of this thing?" I'm like, "Yeah, that's me." And he just got a kick out of that.
That is so funny. Okay, there's some. This may be a bit of a stretch here, but I think there's some sociological model here, and there are a couple of elements of that. One is we're all in this together. Like, whether we all talk about it, we're all in it together. And the other part of it is that we have taken the advice or the predictions from someone who is actually a financial advisor and not a meteorologist, because we're grasping for the truth when it comes to weather. Have you found that to be?
You know, I think it's more just that it's something novel and different. I mean, we all watch the weather on the, you know, at night every on the nightly news and whatnot, and in all reality, I love that it's something unique and there's a story behind it and the connectivity, again, to surfing and the soul sports, in my opinion, kind of coming together. But there's nothing really out there that gives you that 2 week out indication. Now, when it gets closer in, say a week out or so, then I start going to some models from the U of U or Evan Thayer, who has the Wasatch Snow Forecast and now Open Snow, to really kind of hone in. Like, take this storm that's coming in. So I knew that there was going to be a storm Thursday, Friday. I didn't know which day or what time specifically, because, again, if you're 3,100 miles away, it's kind of hard to nail down to the hour.
Or whatever.
And so I look at Evan's postings and figure, okay, I'm going to either ski tomorrow afternoon or maybe Friday morning. So
it's still a pretty good tool, though, because the three of us live here in Park City, and we have schedules. We're busy and stuff, but we can arrange our schedules when a storm comes in to be able to take the morning off or to do whatever. But if you don't live here and you find out 2 weeks ahead of time that something may be happening, then maybe you can start to make some quasi plans and then start looking at the U of U or some of these other things that have a little bit more granularity because they're a little more detailed because they are closer to
right.
that 2 week period, and then make some decisions on whether you're going to come in from out of town or not. And so, you know, it's still interesting.
It's been fun, and the way that my litmus test for that has been shipping my hats and stickers and swag and whatnot all over the country, and it literally is all over the country from Maine to Florida, Texas, all through the Midwest, obviously a lot in Utah, but it's everywhere, and so it's been fun to see that, and that's really kind of what keeps this going for me.
Yeah, so I think I even heard that, I suppose it's on your Facebook page, right? Because you don't have a website. It's just a Facebook page.
I have a website, but frankly, I'm lazy on the website. It's really easy to bang out a Facebook or an Instagram post in about 35 seconds, whereas the website. So again, a lot of this is all about juggling work, family, play, et cetera, et cetera. And so I to do my website, I have to actually come home, and then by the time I get home, then I've got family and whatnot that takes precedence, and so that kind of falls to the wayside. But I need to find some interns. So anyone that wants to help, let me know and shoot me a message. I'd love to get your help on my website.
That's great. And so on your Facebook page, then I hear that, you know, certain hotels will offer deals 2 weeks out or maybe, I don't know, our local lodging companies.
Right.
That's pretty funny.
Stay Park City actually has some lodging specials that are tied to a 2 week out window, which coincides well with the buoy.
What's one of the nuttiest questions you've been asked about this as you speak to people around the country and you speak to people outside the country?
Usually, I don't know if they're nutty, but it's more just, you know, can you tell me what the snow is going to do 3 months from now or something along those lines?
Right.
It's like, well, it's only 2 weeks out, but even that is pretty good. But
can the buoy tell me if I'm going to meet the man of my dreams? I mean, you don't get anything like that.
Well, maybe if you're on that chairlift, you never know.
You never know is right. Yeah. Anybody interested in rain patterns? I mean, does this thing translate to good soaking 2 weeks out?
You know, so during the wintertime, i.e. this last weekend, unfortunately, it did coincide with that rain event. But it seems to me that the weather patterns shift in the summertime and early fall, where it's not as predictive, and then it jumps back on track come wintertime. The swell heights come down, and they're not as pronounced as they are in the wintertime. So it starts as far as I've seen it, it loses its predictive abilities.
Mm. So 3,100 miles away, and obviously the two buoys are located at a latitude. Does that correspond to this latitude? And if you are, 20 degrees more northerly latitude, is there a different buoy that may predict for those folks up in Montana?
Right. So I've actually started looking around at other buoys just for that same sake. I believe this buoy is actually north of us, and so it's really picking up low pressures that are swinging down from Alaska, and then it kind of swoops across the top of Hawaii in a kind of a roundabout way. I haven't quite found A at the time necessarily, but B, other buoys. But I have noticed, and this is just anecdotally from people on kind of chiming back to me, that Colorado's about a day behind us, and Jackson's about right on the same time frame as we are. But the Vail Valley, especially, and Steamboat seem to be just about a day, give or take, behind us. So a lot of people there, even though I was posting specifically for Utah, we're following the powder buoy for Colorado weather.
Yeah, just adding on a day. And so then Jackson being just north of us, then that's when your fine-tuning with your buddy Evan comes into play. Where is it going to, cycle north a bit or
right.
More southerly?
Uh-huh. And so they really worked out well for this season. I think Jackson had one of their better years they've had and kept beating us every year, every storm just about.
Yeah.
Michael Ruzick, he's the institutional consultant and resident manager for Greystone Consulting, part of Morgan Stanley in Park City, but he is the powder buoy. And so listen, thank you for joining us on Cool Science Radio, and we'd love to have you back next season and talk about this some more and find out what else you've learned about some of these other buoys.
Sounds great. Love
okay.
it.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.